Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. My guest today is the executive director of the Blackburn Center in Greensburg. Her name is Renee Ritz. Thank you so much for joining us today, Renee.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to share about our Walk 'Em Out event.
I know, and that's what we wanted to talk about today. So April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and that's, you know, nationwide. But locally, you do an event that brings probably more awareness than some of the major cities across the country. So why don't you go ahead and take some time and tell us about Walk a Mile in Her Shoes?
Sure. Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. We started this, Blackburn Center hosted, I should say. It's an international event. But we started back in 2010. We started hosting the event locally in Greensburg. This year will be our 12th Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event. So it's crazy to think about 12 years we've been doing it. But it will be held at St. Clair Park on April 15th. Registration begins at 9 o'clock. The walk will begin at 10. So it is a shorter event. But for those of you that may not be familiar with Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, it's awareness around gender-based violence. We know that this impacts so many people in the community all over. So bringing awareness is really important because that's ultimately education awareness is how we're going to eliminate these root causes of violence in our community. So that is our goal. And that's why we host these events. We know this topic is uncomfortable to talk about, but it's important that you do talk about it. So at the walk, our theme this year is solidarity. So each year we try and have a theme. So like I'd mentioned, solidarity is our theme, and we're just hoping that everybody comes together. We want to bring unity. And it's very important when talking about these issues that we all come together, we're on the same page. Because again, I'm going back to, this is how we address these issues. This is how we move forward and stop gender-based violence. Mm-hmm. And you know, gender-based violence, it affects women. We know that, but it also affects marginalized communities. So it's really important to understand that it's such a broader term now. It's affecting and impacting so many more people.
Absolutely. You know, this is just as much about awareness as it is fundraising, right? I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yes. And I should mention that absolutely, because, you know, these funds that are coming through, they do support us. They support our mission. They support victims and survivors, those that, you know, we provide these services to, and also the prevention, the education piece. So yes, it is a fundraising event and registration is $5. We will have t-shirts. So last year we did not. We will have t-shirts, suggested donation of $5. So if you're able to or interested, you know, we will have those available, limited quality or quantity, I should say, but really important if you guys can, because it's how we fund the services we provide in the community is by doing these fundraisers such as Walk a Mile in Her Shoes.
So you can register for the walk as a non-fundraiser, just $5 registration fee, and then you can raise as a fundraiser. So give me some examples. Like, are there groups in the community that have been supporting you the last few years that they come out in full force and fundraise?
Oh, absolutely. I should say everybody in the community has been wonderful, but the campuses, so we have a lot of our campuses like Seton Hill University, University of Pittsburgh-Greensburg. I mean, there's many more campuses, but they come on site. Many people know about Seton Hill football team. They wear the red heels. So I should mention, we will have red heels. So if that's something, if someone wants to participate and wear those red heels, you know, reach out to us. You can contact us at 1-888-832-2272. We'll get you in contact with that individual that can order shoe sizes. It is approaching, so we'll be here soon. So if that is something you're interested in, feel free to give us a call. But yeah, so the campuses, they're very active and involved. Toscano, they've been wonderful. They've been a great supporter. I mean, there's been so many. So sponsorships, and I will, you know, put this plug in. Our sponsorship was supposed to, the deadline was supposed to be March 27th. We've extended it until April 3rd. So there is some time in a sponsorship. There's different levels. We have yard signs, we have signs at the walk that will bring awareness to those that are, you know, sponsoring us. So we'll get your name, your logo on there. There's different sponsorship levels that you can look into if you are interested, or if you just want to donate, that's fine. And it could be after the walk too, or while you're at the walk. So I say register, you want to, you know, if you can register before as an individual or a team. So you could just come as a community member, or, you know, come as a team. And that's something we see a lot of individuals. And I mentioned this early on about it being a fun event and educational, but also it is serious because there are teams that come to mourn the loss of a loved one because of an abusive partner. So yes, we want everyone to have fun, but we want to make sure everyone's educating themselves and understanding why we're doing this event. And it's important to remember those that are victims and survivors, whether they're here with us today, or, you know, they lost their life because of this or have been impacted by this. So if you can come out, that would be wonderful. And I know we have great sponsors, great donors in our community that have been gracious enough to fundraise for us, provide us with donations, or even just show up and volunteer. So that's something else. If you're interested in volunteering, even if it's, you know, right before the walk, reach out to us. We're you know, open.
That sounds amazing. How many people do you usually get?
So we, during the pandemic, our numbers, obviously we did a virtual option, which our numbers went up, but last year we were around 700. Wow. We're really aiming for, yeah, it is. It's a lot, especially coming from the pandemic when, you know, going out in large groups, that's not something, you know, people were kind of cautious of doing. So when you're hitting that number last year, this year, we're obviously aiming higher. So I'm excited to see. And I know there's some high schools that are interested in bringing their students, their athletic departments. So I'm excited to see the turnout.
I think it's so important, don't you, with young men like that? I love hearing about Seton Hill and, you know, the football team. Don't you think that's important? Because this is gender-based violence, as you research it, I mean, it's very, very prominent. 1 in 3 women have impacted by this.
Absolutely. And we need more males. We need more individuals to speak up. And I think that's another important aspect of this. We have speakers that will be speaking, and they're males. It's important to have them out in the community and talking about these issues, because, you know, those in marginalized communities are, you know, us as women talking about these issues, we can talk about it, but until we have allies and those advocates, men especially, to support us and understand these are issues, and the way we address these issues is getting behind this cause and understanding that gender-based violence is a problem and we're the ones that can stop it. So using that education and getting out there and starting them young and having these conversations. I know it's uncomfortable, but it is important to have these conversations.
So the significance of the red high heels, those are, you know, that's an attention grabber, right?
It is. And again, I mentioned it's a fun event, educational, and we do the red heels, and it's not to make fun, but it's to walk a mile in someone else's shoe. And again, the red heels, it's something to kind of put things into perspective. You're walking a mile in someone else's shoes or red heels that typically males or other individuals, they don't wear red heels. So it makes you uncomfortable, right? You know, you're not really sure. You're learning how to walk, trying to figure that out. And just with being uncomfortable, so is talking about this, having these conversations and learning more about it. And for victims and survivors, what they've had to go through. You know, it's not comfortable, but they should feel empowered and be able to voice, you know, how they're feeling and what gender-based violence means to them. And, you know, walking in these shoes is, I wouldn't say completely, but it does have that conversation around, okay, let's talk about this more and how uncomfortable it makes you feel and getting out there and having these conversations.
For sure. I mean, I'm so intrigued at the whole premise of, you know, the awareness piece. In terms of the fundraising piece, do you have a goal that you'd like to reach?
So we do. So last year, with our sponsorship, we do have a goal. Right now, ideally, we'd love to, and I don't want to put a solid number because I have a number in my head that I like to keep to myself. I don't want to stress anybody out here. But there is, sponsorship has been really great lately. And when I say that, the deadline is April 3rd, which is next Monday. So that kind of gives us an idea of where we will be. Now, during the walk, people bring donations, and whether it's a check or cash. So we accept that. So if they do bring that, then really that ultimately gives us a sense. So I do have a number in my head, but until I kind of get a sense for where we're at with our sponsorships, I don't want to throw out anything yet until I know for sure. Okay. This is because I don't want to aim too big, but I also don't want to aim too small. So I do have something in mind that I'd like to aim for.
I would say you're a good boss because you don't want to stress out your staff.
That's exactly. I have. Yeah, the people that really do a wonderful job, our team, that take the lead on Waccamaw. I mean, obviously, I'm a part of it, but there are numbers. And they're like, "Oh, what are you guys? What are you thinking?" And I'm like, "Well, I'll tell you later on. Let's wait on that.
I'll tell you afterward if we hit it or not."
yeah. And if we make more than what I'm hoping for, amazing. But I'm happy to get out there, and I think we all are, to bring awareness and education around this. I mean, the money. I mean, obviously, we need the funds to do what we do. But being able to host this at St. Clair Park and have so many participants, even if it is 700, it means the world to us and to our clients and others that have been impacted by gender-based violence.
Tell me about gender-based violence and its more sort of pronounced, interference in communities where gender equality is an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So to be honest, it impacts everybody one way or another. Somebody knows or has been affected by gender-based violence, and you're looking at domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking, rape, it's so broad. I mean, there's so many different versions of gender-based violence. So it's really important that we do talk about gender equality because these issues are affecting those. And that's why we say we need more males, men as allies. We need them to support us because they're the ones that can help put a stop to this. So with the domestic violence and sexual assault, and again, that's all gender-based violence, that all kind of falls underneath that. Discussing those issues, going to your legislators and putting in laws that support victims and survivors of domestic and sexual violence, volunteering, at Blackburn Center, I'm just, throwing that out there if you can, or donating, or the biggest thing I think for the community, however you identify, is to have those conversations when you hear, because we hear this a lot. When somebody makes a joke around rape, domestic mm-hmm. violence, sexual mm-hmm. assault, speaking mm-hmm. up about it. And I know it's uncomfortable, and we can work with you. If you have somebody in your family that's, maybe making comments and you're not sure, how do I address that? Reach out to us. We'll have those conversations of certain talking points. We know it's uncomfortable, and not always is it the safest time to have that conversation. But at some point, if you feel that, I am going to say something, I'm going to speak up and feel comfortable in doing it and feel safe, please do, because that's another way to bring awareness around gender-based violence and to end it, because ultimately that's our main goal, is to stop this or address these issues that lead to gender-based violence.
And let's face it, some people just aren't in a position to leave, right? I mean, why don't they just leave? They should just go. Well, there's money, there's children involved. There's, where do you go? How do you leave? How do you get out of that? And I think that's where Blackburn probably comes in the most. Am I right about that?
You're right. And absolutely. And so if you are somebody listening to this that knows someone, or even yourself, that has been impacted or is currently in a situation, contact our hotline. And I know I already threw out our number, but it's 1-888-832-2272. We'll talk to you about that. We'll talk to you about options, because it may not be the safest to leave at that time. As you said, Jennifer, I mean, financially, or if there's children involved, or resources, I mean, even contacting us, we'll work with you on resources, whether it's not maybe connected to us, maybe it's moving, going to another location because you don't feel safe in this county or community or town you're in. So it's really up to the survivor to drive that conversation, but we'll provide them with options and allow them to kind of steer the car for us. And we'll provide those options, and where they want to go, it's up to them.
Yeah, but you're like, really important first step though, right? I mean, what are you going to do? You can't like call the police, and the police aren't going to take you out. That's the thing, right?
You're right. And we always say too, and I just had this conversation recently regarding that, it's the biggest step for a survivor or victim of domestic sexual violence to contact us. That's the biggest step, because that's acknowledging, right, that these issues are happening, whether it's within the home or somebody you knew, assaulted you, whatever the situation may be, it's taking that step, which is the biggest step. in contacting us and sharing that, you know, and it's up to them what they share. But you're right. Sometimes police can't come in and take them. And sometimes, you know, it's up to the survivor to figure out where exactly their needs are. So whether it's financial support or looking at, you know, custody or, you know, just what resources there are out there, because there are a lot that people don't realize about. So contacting us and even just having that first conversation around it, or even just putting language around it, because a lot of times when we get calls, individuals don't even realize, oh, hey, that's gender-based violence or that's domestic violence. And again, we're not throwing that out there immediately, but we're hearing what they have to say and then talking to them about that. Like, hey, this sounds like domestic violence, or, you know, it sounds like sexual assault, you know, and having those conversations and educating them too, because sometimes they don't even realize. And it's hard when you're in that situation to realize what's going on.
Renee Ritz is the executive director of the Blackburn Center in Greensburg. She's talking about Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. It's a huge awareness and fundraising event for the Blackburn Center that's coming up on April 15th. She reminds you that the sponsorships are due April 3rd, which when this show airs will be tomorrow. So make sure you log on to the blackburncenter.org website, so you can jump on there and look at the sponsorship information and get involved with Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Happy to be here today with Renee Ritz. She's the executive director of the Blackburn Center in Greensburg, and she was talking to us about Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. It's a big awareness and fundraising event coming up on April 15th. So on your website is where you can find that information to be a sponsor. You're estimating upwards of 700 people coming out for this event. That's tremendous. Is it growing every year too?
It is. And that's what I'm excited about, because it is growing. And it just even, we'll get emails from teams. And when I say teams, it's people in the community that want to get together, whether it's within their organization or family and friends that want to be a team. And they're reaching out more and more. So it's getting us even more excited for this event, because we've had numerous teams reach out to us. Some of them, unfortunately, that they can't be on site, but they still want to register as a team. But for the most part, we are seeing an increase, which again, at this point in time, I was just talking to our education outreach program manager regarding that and how we're seeing this increase of teams. So I'm excited to see that. And one thing I want to mention too, is with the teams, some teams will design their own shirts. I'm not telling you have to, but if, yeah, I'm not, but it's up to them. And it's interesting to see the different, because that really kind of puts them, you know, together, because you'll see, I think there was one team that had purple, one team that had red, and it depends on the agency too and their logo, because then they'll base it off the colors. Our Westmoreland Human Trafficking Task Force, they had a team last year. So you could really see that when you're walking a mile, the different teams there. So I'm excited this year to see how many we have out there. And even just coming as an individual, not signing up as a team, they make their own shirts too. But having a cluster of people, it's amazing to see that coming together, because our theme is solidarity.
Now, do some of these young men who walk in heels, do they make it a whole mile in the heels?
They do. And I'll tell you what, I was on traffic control last year, and I was nervous for some of them, because I saw them wobbling, and I'm thinking, oh, geez, I hope they're okay. They were like, we're fine. We're doing good. And some of them jog. So I give them credit. But
actually,
yes,
when you think about it, that might be easier if you just
it probably
get on your
would
toes, you know.
You're right. But easier. Yeah, they make it. And there's a lot more other than the Seen Hill football team that wear the heels. So it's been amazing to see that. And each year I start to notice more and more people wearing the heels. So I'm excited to see who wears them this year.
Renee Ritz is the executive director of the Blackburn Center, and she's talking about their big fundraiser and awareness event coming up on April 15th at St. Clair Park. You can visit their website, blackburncenter.org, for more information. I'm on the website now, and I really have to give you a compliment, because I think it's very rare to see an organization so focused, right? And right on the front of their website is the three core pillars: get help, take action, and learn. It's excellent. Yeah. It's so well done. And that get help, let's start with that. Okay. So what is, who can call you? Who can you help? And who should be calling you?
Absolutely. So great questions. Anybody can call. So let me start with that. Whether you are a victim or survivor, or if you have questions, we sometimes have agencies contacting us because they're not sure what resources for their clients that would be beneficial or even what's out there. So honestly, anybody can contact us. So if you have questions, feel free to reach out to our hotline. But for those that are impacted by that, what services we can offer, and I'll just do a quick run through. And if you have more questions, feel free to ask, but our hotline's our main point of contact, which we kind of cover throughout. So anything from questions, whether it's crisis or just what services we can provide, reach out to us. And then from there, we'll direct you. So we have a shelter. It's for intimate partner violence, women and children, men. We can house, you know, offsite somewhere else. So that is important to know that we do have a shelter. And it's somewhere where somebody can go to be, feel safe. So that is always an option. Then we have counseling and therapy. Our counseling is more short-term, but we're focusing on whether it's protection from abuse orders or safety planning, healthy boundaries. We focus on that. And then we have our therapists. Our therapists are licensed. So that is more long-term. So our therapists, you know, they, a lot of their clients are sexual assault survivors. So they work with them a lot. And like I said, it is long-term because of the trauma. So they are working with them on EMDR, things like that. So it does take a little bit longer for those sessions and long-term because they heal from that trauma. We have legal and medical advocates. So if you are a victim or survivor of a crime, a criminal case, and have a hearing, and you have questions or want support, reach out to us. We have legal advocates that can be a support. They do not provide legal options, but we can absolutely, you know, direct them or be there to support them throughout the process. We're at the courthouse for protection from abuse orders. We can go to police interviews, district attorney interviews, our medical advocates. So this is really important. We have a great relationship with the hospital and they will contact us at any time if somebody discloses domestic violence, sexual assault, sex trafficking. So we will go out to our local hospitals to be a support. And when I say support, that is the client will lead it. The individual will lead that conversation. But what that looks like is we're talking about options. We're talking about safety planning. We're talking about what the next steps may be. Now we know they're in crisis, so we don't want to overwhelm them, but we get them started with that process of moving forward or what to them looks like moving forward. So we work with them on those options and what to expect, whether they're at the hospital or if there's going to be legal proceedings moving forward. We have an education program. Our education program is really focused on prevention work. And, you know, it ties into this, you know, gender-based violence in the schools, K through 12, talking about those different topics with that, with the students. And it's all tailored to age groups. So it's really important to remember that. So depending on the age group is how it's focused on, you know, what that topic may be, consent, healthy boundaries, empathy, human trafficking, which is an optional, you know, but if the school district wants it, we can absolutely present on that. And there's several other topics. If you go to our website too, it will show that information. We're in higher ed, you know, working with Title IX coordinators, the campuses, the students, and we have a wonderful relationship with them. But something else that I don't think many people are aware of is our civil legal department. It's fairly recent, 2018, 2019, but these are services in the community. It's all civil related. It's at no cost to survivors, but it's related to the victimization, whether it's domestic violence, sexual assault, other crimes. So we can support those individuals, whether it's, you know, divorce, custody, supports, permanent PFA hearing, things like that. We may be able to support them through the process. So these are all things that are free. And we will point, so if an individual contacts us, we'll guide them and say, these are the resources, you know, you let us know what the next step is. So we do have a lot of services out there. And again, if you have more questions, you're hearing this and was wondering about something, reach out, because we're always doing educational programs, trainings out in the community. And if your agency or, you know, community group is interested, feel free to contact us. Again, you can contact us at our hotline. We also have our main office line, which is 724-837-9540. If you'd like to request a training.
And that's the take action piece, right? The next piece on the website. That's how you take action. You get involved, you get into a group, you learn the talking points, you go through the education, and then you go out and you become the advocate, right?
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And it's even whether you have a training or, and I'm going to throw this out there again, volunteering. We have different types of volunteer work you can do here. So even if it's just helping us get packets together for clients, that could be an option. Or if you're interested in, you know, being a volunteer and helping with the hotline or crisis hotline, there is training involved, but that's an option. And like I said, we can direct you more in other ways you can volunteer and you can help us at tabling events, you know, things like that. There's so many options out there. And the best way to find that out is by contacting us. But it is really important. Once you know these steps or have an idea and educate yourself, taking action is the next step. And that's how we, you know, get to the root cause of these issues and try and prevent this from moving forward.
And then the last piece is the learn piece, and the donations that come into Blackburn, I believe, would go towards supporting the staff who themselves become trainers, who are out in the schools, who are out in the community doing this work in education.
Yeah, absolutely. And we get a ton of donations too, not only for us and our agency, but for our clients. So on our website, it should say shelter needs list. It is updated monthly. That is all for our clients. So we do take donations, and you can contact our office for what hours during the week we'll take donations. And again, that sheet with all the donations that we need for that month are updated. So that really helps our clients because when they move from our shelter into their new place, you know, we're able to supply them with what we can. We don't have a ton of space, so we do work with other agencies that can help support that. And they've been wonderful, but we want to give them something, our clients, something to take away from them to feel empowered and say, hey, I'm doing this on my own, because they should be proud of themselves for taking these steps and moving forward like they're doing. But any donation we receive, it does, whether it's either way, it impacts our clients one way or another. And it's wonderful. And we appreciate all the donations, our donors, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do here.
Right.
So I just can't say it enough. We are grateful for them. And each day we're getting donations, whether it's monetary or it's items for our clients. We truly do appreciate it.
Let's talk just for a minute. We have about 2 minutes left, just about your background. How did you end up at the Blackburn Center?
Wonderful. So I started in shelter. I started shelter 7.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's where I started. I originally, which is really a funny story, so I won't get too in depth, but I wanted to volunteer. I switched majors and I figured, you know, sociology is the direction I want to go in. I want to start volunteering. So I was looking at, you know, and this was 7.5 years ago, and I'm looking at different agencies and I'm like, Blackburn Center, because I'm going to be honest, I didn't know much about it. And I said, you know what, I'm going to volunteer for them. Well, I didn't hear anything right away. Then I saw, and indeed they had a shelter counselor position. I figured, well, you know what, I'm going to apply for it. Well, I didn't get a call for the shelter counselor position, but I did get a call shortly later. It's about 3 months later for the volunteer. So I thought, oh, wonderful, I'm going to volunteer. Well, then a week later, I got a call for the shelter counselor position. So that's kind of how things came about. I'm going to be honest, in the beginning, I was passionate about this topic before, but I didn't know what resources locally were around here. So I'm glad that I just figured, hey, let me try to volunteer somewhere. And I chose Blackburn Center because from there, you know, I've really been able to learn a lot. And I think working with direct services, whether it's shelter or advocacy work, has really helped me. And that's how it helps. By us learning, we can educate others, and educating others, again, I keep going back to this, helps eliminate these root causes of gender-based violence and violence in general.
Renee Ritz is the executive director of the Blackburn Center in Greensburg and a fantastic spokesperson and advocate and for awareness about domestic violence. She and her staff are organizing the upcoming Walk a Mile in Her Shoes awareness and fundraising event on April 15th. Last day to secure that sponsorship is tomorrow, April 3rd. So make sure you do that. As soon as you can visit blackburncenter.org to get registered for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. So thank you so much, Renee. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.